It's so beautiful to be in the house of God. Thank you for your warm welcome. It's such an honor to stand for Jesus. Amen. It's such an honor to stand for Jesus. It makes all the difference when we have found ourselves in Him. And it makes a world of difference. So praise God. This morning, as we come together, we know that the Lord is here in the midst of us. Even before we come, He is here and He has come before each and every one of us. And He's got a word, He's got an encouragement, He's got an exhortation. He's the one that's building the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. No matter what we see, you know, on the left and right, you know, our soul and our mind can tell us many things. But He is here and He's building His church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Praise God. Thank God for the worship team. We have such a beautiful worship team. And they've chosen all the songs that are taken from my sermon today. Well, to let you know, the worship leaders were not present in my house. So we know that the Lord is leading us together. But I'd like to start off with Matthew chapter 21, verse 2 to 3 this morning. Yep, kia ora, morena. And we want to thank God for the Word of God this morning. And we thank God that the Word of God is alive and active. He's able to speak to us in various circumstances. So as we look at Matthew 21, verse 2 to 3, we see Jesus telling His disciples here, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them." He's sending His disciples, go ahead to the village that is ahead of them, and you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. He was very specific. He was actually sending the disciples ahead of Him before He enters Jerusalem. You know, as he prepares to come to Jerusalem for the Passover week, Jesus was sending the disciples ahead. It's a preparation for His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The Lord very often does preparation. Before Jesus came the first time, John the Baptist came to prepare the way. Before Jesus went into the villages and cities to preach, He sent 72 of His disciples to go before Him to prepare the way. When they go and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand, and when people heard Jesus subsequently, they were ready to receive the news. He sent them ahead to proclaim the good news before He Himself was present there. Before the Last Supper, Jesus told His disciples to go and prepare the upper room for the Last Supper. And now we see that before His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, He sends His disciple to go and look for the donkey and the colt that was tied beside her. And He said to them, "Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed to them. We pause for a while there. He sent them ahead to prepare the way. God is very often wanting us to be involved in the preparation of what He has in store for the season and for the time. It's not just us preparing here. There's preparation in heaven happening simultaneously. I'd like to share a testimony about an eldest wife in one of the campus churches in Malaysia. And she's a very godly woman. And during the pandemic, she had a massive stroke and she was admitted in the hospital. Her son was a doctor, and they all discussed about what needs to be done. But the doctors decided that nothing much could be done. She was just helpless, and she was bedridden, and she was just lying down there. So eventually, the daughters and grandchildren decided to bring her back home. And all they could do is to continue to have worship and prayer around the grandmother. Now, she could move her hands a little bit. And during the massive stroke, when she was critical, they saw her trying to whisper some things which they could not understand. But as they continued to have worship and prayer in the midst of the grandmother, she gradually began to open her lips bigger, and she was slowly begin to mimic and sing along with them. And in due time, she was sitting up, and she was sitting up, and she was able to sing together with them. And finally, you know, she was able to even stand up. When she was better and she began to narrate what she actually was trying to tell them when she was having a massive stroke. She said while she was in that condition, she had a vision of heaven. She saw this beautiful place where when she came and she was approaching the entrance, her robe was removed and she was given a white robe. And as she entered the place, she saw the beautiful scenery of heaven, beautiful colors that were vibrant and colors that she has not seen on earth. The insects, the flowers were all beautiful. And she was being guided like going on a journey through this beautiful place. And while she experienced that, let me go off tangent for a while, because there was another eldest wife in our own church who was down because of the pandemic, and she was under intubation. And many people were actually praying for her 24/7. When she recovered, she fully recovered. And she said she saw a similar vision while she was under intubation. We were on our knees praying for her to recover and giving thanks to God. And she said she was having a wonderful time looking at the scene of heaven. She said she saw these beautiful flowers, vibrant colors, music, and everything was so good and so nice that she was very reluctant to come back. But she was not allowed to enter in yet. And we thank God she did not enter, because she came back and we could rejoice that she was not defeated during the time. Praise God. So there are two people that experienced that. Now going back to the first lady, what happened was that she continued that journey looking at all these beautiful places, and then she was shown many beautiful mansions. And after looking at these beautiful mansions, she came and saw one that was not completed. She asked the person beside her, "Why is this not complete?" And the answer she got was, "That is yours. That is yours." Now, what does that mean? It's not her time yet. She rose from her bed, and the last we met her, she was in church. She was even able to climb upstairs. She recovered, and she kept telling her children, "Wear colorful clothing, because heaven is so colorful." She wanted them to celebrate all the time. Beautiful. So, when we heard that testimony, it reminded us of what Jesus actually said to his disciples. "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you." Hallelujah. Jesus is preparing. He says, "I go and prepare a place for you." Likewise, God wants us to be involved in preparation. We are co-workers for the kingdom of God on earth. And we know that prayer that talks about on earth as it is in heaven. Everything is similar. While Jesus is making preparation for his kingdom in heaven, God wants us to be co-workers with him on this earth, involved in preparing for his move for this season, for right now. And when we look at it, he's saying that untie. He says, "You will find a donkey and colt and untie them and bring them to me." So when I was reading the scriptures, the Lord prompted my heart that the donkey and the colt were provisions in order to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. There was a provision that was already in the kingdom. There was a provision that was already provided, and somebody was being a steward of that provision. And when God needed that, he says that when they ask you, say that the Lord needs them. When we often read the scriptures and remember, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." But here, Jesus is saying that the Lord needs them. that provision that was tied need to be released for the purpose of the prophecy to be fulfilled. God is speaking. And he was saying that there are resources that he has given. There are talents and gifts and people that has given. And these lives had to be set free. Those resources need to be untied so that prophecies can be fulfilled in this season and these days of the church. God has spoken that he has placed that, but it has to be released for these prophecies to be fulfilled. So when we look at this, the man that owns the donkey and the colt is actually being a steward and a co-worker for the kingdom. When he releases that to the disciples, he was providing for that prophecy to be fulfilled. And when Jesus receives that, receives the donkey and colt, at that time, the disciples took off their coat and they placed their coats on the donkey and colt. They publicly honored this King Jesus. Now, normally, kings, when they come in after a war, they will come riding on a horse. But Jesus comes on a colt. He's coming meek and humble, coming in peace. Jerusalem, peace. And he's coming in peace to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus was coming into Jerusalem for that very purpose. Not like a warrior king at that point of time, but coming to be the Lamb of God. He was coming in meek and humble. And when we look at the scriptures, it says that the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They bought the donkey, brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now, the disciples placed their cloaks on the donkey and colt. Now, seeing that, how Jesus was honored, the crowd began to honor Jesus. They began to place their cloaks on the road. When we begin to honor Jesus publicly, others will be drawn, just like the disciples honored Jesus by putting their cloaks for him to sit on it. There are others begin to follow suit, and they begin to honor Jesus by putting their cloaks on the road. There were so many cloaks on the road, and others begin to pluck the plums and begin to wave and to shout and to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the city. So in verse 9, the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna." They shouted, "Hosanna," like we sang just now. "Hosanna to the Son of David." They are celebrating this king that is coming in. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." The disciples honored Jesus openly by placing their cloak on the donkeys. And others began to place their cloak on the road. And eventually, that led to a chorus of praise, shouts of praise rising up. And we see that God has actually prophesied this in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." He says here, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem." And the city was full of people at that time. Scholars say that during that Passover season, there would be almost about 2 million people from the Mediterranean basin in the Roman Empire and beyond coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. That was a huge crowd. And Jesus came from Bethany and Bethpage, where Lazarus has been just raised from the dead. And there's been words going around. Lazarus was dead 4 days ago, and Jesus raised him. The blind could see. The leper was healed. Jesus fed the 5,000. Words were going around as they came for Passover. Miracles were being shared. And when disciples began to proclaim all the things he has done, people began to shout, "Hosanna, save us! Hosanna, save us!" And they began to shout out aloud to the king that was coming. And we begin to read further in John chapter 12, verse 19. It says that, so the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Now, interestingly, this is almost like what Caiaphas, the high priest, says. It is better for one man to die than the whole nation to perish. They were not understanding what they were saying, but they were being very prophetic there. Just like the Pharisees, they say, see, this is getting us nowhere. When the praises rise, the enemy began to drown. We sang that this morning. When the crowds began to sing praise, began to shout the praises, the Pharisees began to say, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world have gone after him. The whole world here speaks about the Mediterranean world, where there are millions that have come for Passover. And they were all crowding around Jesus, shouting Hosanna, waving palms, putting down their coats, and following him in the back, in the front, together, coming towards Jerusalem. What a joyful celebration, inviting the king. But simultaneously, there was a cry in their heart, Hosanna, save us. They were looking for political salvation from the Roman Empire. But Jesus is coming for a greater mission, for the whole world. So we see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, the Apostle Paul writes here, I urge then, first of all, the petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. Now, Paul in chapter 1 writes and describes that how he is the chief of all sinners. He doesn't consider himself deserving what he experienced in Christ and how he saw this heavenly vision of Christ. And yet, he writes to Timothy, his disciple, and says that and how he experienced the grace of God. So fight the good fight of faith. And he continues there to say that, pray for all people. He says, for all people, this is good and pleases God, our Savior. The Jesus that came to Jerusalem came as a Savior for all humanity. He says, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, when we look here, it says that this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. Can we say that, all people to be saved? Can we say that again, all people to be saved? This is good and pleasing to our God, for all people to be saved. All people, our siblings, our friends, our children, our daughter, our relatives, our friends, our colleagues, those who are annoying to us, those who are considered like enemies, all people in the scripture. And this is good and pleasing to God for our enemies and those who are annoying to be saved in the kingdom of God. This is the good pleasure of God. And this is how much he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish. All people shall not perish. Whosoever believe in him. That is the precondition there. Believe in Jesus, you and your household will be saved. And this is the heart of God, that all people will be saved. So how can they be saved? Paul continues, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Not for the Jews, not for the West, not for Israel, for all people. So as we look into chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2, verse 2 to 6, we see the phrase all people. Pray for all people. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved. And Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Make way for the King, his name, to be heard among all people. Make way for his celebration. Make preparation for what he wants to fulfill in this season in the church. Release the resources. Release the people. Release the talents. And begin to proclaim, yes, we are one. Yes, we are one-minded. We are one spirit. And we will stand together for his purpose to be fulfilled. For the prophecies to be fulfilled in this season, in this church, in this city, in this nation. God has prepared us for such a time of this. So it's a privilege that we can actually participate and become co-workers. Like the man, the owner of the lamb and the colt who raised those two animals up, willing to release it for the Lord to use it. And prophecies was unfolding before them. Hallelujah. So as children and family of God, as people belonging to the kingdom, God has given us the resources, the talents, the gifts that we may be able to participate, be co-workers, so that others will hear the good news of Jesus, so that others will be saved, others will be set free, lives like Alex will be transformed for the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. So there are more to come. There are more families, more individuals that need to hear this good news. For he himself has given himself as a ransom for all people. So when we look at the scripture again and again, I felt the Spirit of God prompting in my heart. This is good. This is pleasing. And what is good and pleasing for our Savior? He wants all people to be safe. Hallelujah. He wants all people to be safe. He wants all people online to be safe. And he's speaking to the nations. He's speaking to all people. And he wants the church to be in the forefront of all this. That we, like in the book of Acts, come with all that we have. All to Jesus I surrender. So that the prophecies for such a time of this, through his church, which was blood by his own blood, can be fulfilled for the glory of his name. Hallelujah. Jesus has called us for such a time of this. So he has called us. In Romans 10 verse 9, it says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess and will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All people, everyone. The scripture is consistent. Right from the time of Jesus, the apostles and the disciples, so on. The scripture is consistent. All people, everyone, to be saved. This is the heart of Jesus. That is why he came. That is why he came to Jerusalem, so that weekend he enters the temple, and in the temple he cleanses the temple. Now in the past, when kings rule and they go for war, they will come back riding our horses triumphantly, and there'll be lots of celebration and singing, and the kings will go into the temple of the land and they will make sacrifices. But here comes the Lamb of God that will enter the temple in Jerusalem, not to make animal sacrifices, but he will be the Lamb of God that will be paid for the ransom of all people. He will give his life on the cross, become the sacrifice for each and every one of us. So Paul answers these big questions. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe if they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can 24/7 come to pass without people reaching out to them? People being in the midst of them. People touching lives, transforming life, and bringing them into the love and presence of God, which is so transforming. This is of God. This is the heart of God. And how can they preach unless they are sent? We need to send them to the schools. We need to send them to wherever God is placing us and them together. We are co-workers in his kingdom. Call for such a time as this to fulfill prophecies. We are here to fulfill prophecies by being co-workers. I feel the anointing there when God says, untie, untie, untie the donkey and call, untie the resources, untie the talents and gifts, untie the people and let them go. Let's release them to the harvest field. For God has called us for such a time as this. And he says, go and I will be with you till the end of time. This is the God that we serve. This is the Savior that we worship. This is the word Jesus we know. More than 40 years ago, when I came to Christ, He transformed my life and I experienced His love. I was born again. I was transformed. My life was totally, you know, cleansed, washed. All my guilts were taken away. And I knew that between God and man, there is only one name, as the scripture says. His name is Jesus. And that is how the young people will be saved. That is how families will be restored. That is how lives will be set free. That is how people with addiction will be set free, because He's glorious and He's going to break forth into healings. There are going to be more physical healings, and I declare that upon the church and in this place, that because the kingdom of God is at hand, there is going to be physical healings breaking forth in the church. Signs and wonders and miracles are going to be on the increase, because 24 is a year of more, and where we're going to see more and more miracles taking place in this place. So let us be one heart, one mind, and let us stand together for this kingdom of God. Let us bow our head in prayer. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Son of God. Worship you, Almighty God. You who was and is to come. You have called us for such a time of this, that we may see prophecies fulfilled in this land, in this city, and in this church, O God. And you want us to untie those resources for the glory of your name. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to walk together with you as co-workers. Thank you that your word will not return to you void. As the scripture says, to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave them power to become children of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This morning, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? I was born again more than 40 years ago. I was made clean. I was set free. This morning could be your day. If there's anyone here, you want to give your life to Jesus as I did and experience that many, many miracles in my life. And I look back the past 40 over years, I rejoice and give thanks to Him. You too can give your life to Jesus this morning. Would you raise up your hand, and I'd love to pray with you and lead you in a prayer. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. Is there anyone in this place of worship? You would like to open up your heart to Jesus? It's not about the person on the left or right, but you lift up your hands to Jesus. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. Yes, heaven will rejoice, the Bible says. When one hand is lifted up, heavens will rejoice. The angels will rejoice. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray this, and would you, those that have raised up your hands, could you please follow this prayer? And I encourage all the others to pray along. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for all my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior and my God. I surrender my life to you. Come and fill me with your peace and your presence, O God. Thank you for your blood on the cross that cleanses me from all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.